Welcome back to The Ed Show, episode 24.
Hey, man, last time we were together, I had just stumbled onto the set. I was fresh out of my new employee orientation, and now we're at 24.
And now you're the grizzled veteran.
Hey, grizzled veteran.
And you still
veteran.
Haven't lost the hat.
The hat stays on. I'm a little unshaven today. I was caught by surprise to help you out here for this one.
Nice. Well, tell us, what's new in the world today?
Well, one of the news items that I want to talk about today specifically is that we have a consumerization of IT jumpstart. Jumpstart, in case you don't know, is one of those programs that we partner with Microsoft Learning. This one happens to take place over top of 2 days. It's only in the mornings, just so you know, on May 15th and May 16th, talking about the consumerization of IT. Our good friend David Tesar is going to be looking after that one there with some special guests to come on and to be able to talk about different things. If you're interested in registering for this, get on there quick. It's going to be available at the URL in the notes, but in case you're wondering, aka.ms/consumer IT.
That's right.
Aka MS Consumer IT.
Great. Well, the next thing I want to talk about is with the release of System Center 2012, we have found some issues in some of the products. So we're actively working on them, actively rolling out hot fixes, KB articles.
I know. We call those challenges, I think, don't we?
Challenges. They're learning experiences that we found from our customers.
Very good. Right. Continuously improving.
And so there's 25 KB articles that have been released with Virtual Machine Manager and System Center 2012. So if you're running into any kind of trouble, there's a great central website that contains a full list of them on the Virtual Machine Manager blog, and that's aka.ms/VMM KB April. Huh. So this is the list of the 25 KB articles from April. So any types of errors, connections to clusters, just kind of general things that happen once you go into production, go check out this list. It has some great tips and tricks, resources to get you back up and running.
Awesome. And actually, to segue nicely in the next one is the fact that we talked about the release of System Center 2012 at MMS. MMS has now been done for a couple of weeks now, and we're now back and recovering from our sejour over in Las Vegas. But we have MMS On Demand is now available online. So in case you didn't get a chance to come out to MMS, go to mms-2012.com/digitalMMS, and you can take a look at some of the sessions. All the keynotes are up.
Yep.
And I believe approximately, let's say, 160-odd sessions or so are up there as well over across the five tracks. So that's now online, live, and available in high def to go off and take a look at.
Great. And one of the other things that came out as part of MMS was a new white paper specifically around private cloud deployment.
This is like the System Center show or something.
It is.
This is crazy.
Hey, that's why I'm here, right?
You got it.
So if you want to get started with the System Center, how to download the evals, how to configure the servers, the networking, the storage, deploy the components, configure them with SQL, all the kind of those best practices to get up and running in a private cloud environment, check out this white paper just released, and that's at aka.ms/PC white paper, the private cloud white paper.
Now, you know, one thing I've got about this whole private cloud thing is that it's big, it takes a lot of hardware to be able to run. I know that you happen to take advantage of some of the hardware we have available to our team on Building 20 to be able to do labs and be able to do IT camps and that sort of stuff. But what do I do if I don't have access to all that hardware, but I still want to be able to improve my skills on what's going on with private cloud stuff?
Well, as you say, a lot of people are saying, hey, I really want to try this out, but give me an easy way to do it. Mm-hmm. So we've worked on a project where we've basically created online streaming private cloud experiences.
Okay. What is that?
So have you heard of the DemoMate technology?
We're able to click through and do different things?
You click through, you follow some guidance. It says, you know, click here, this is going to teach you this. Now click here. So I guess what's kind of different from a free-for-all hands-on environment is you can't just click any place in the screen and have, you know, your own sandbox to play in.
Okay.
It is structured. You do have to follow kind of the step-by-step guys, but it's all set up, it's all configured for you, and it's really easy to stream and use.
Okay, well, why don't you give us a shot and show us what it looks like, actually.
So first of all, to go there, you know, you just go aka.ms/PC labs, and this will go take you to our launch page, our private cloud guided labs. From here, we ask you to register, and if you register, the advantage of this is it will actually keep track of where you are as you slowly progress through all of the labs.
Okay.
So you sign up, and we do recommend doing these labs in orders because it kind of builds up the scenarios, helps you deploy the infrastructure, then start to operate it, looking at the different layers.
So this is a logical flow that you should
There is a logical flow, absolutely. But once you sign up and you get to the main page, you just have access to these 14 labs.
Okay, so it's not a It's not requiring any kind of special remote connectivity into a port 3389 or something like that.
Correct.
For terminal services.
You need a web browser.
Okay, web browser, and that's it.
That's simple. Cool. Web browser. You simply go through the labs, and if you don't want to even use them as a demo mate, you can just watch it as a raw video. But we definitely encourage people to try out the demo mates. Now, I'm just going to quickly show you one of my favorites here, which is taking corrective actions in the infrastructure.
Don't hold back. It's kind of exciting, man.
Well, so for me, you know, I kind of like an infrastructure guy. I like to monitor the environment, check it out. So this particular demo, just a quick example of what this does.
Welcome
you hit play.
Guided lab on how to take corrective
it's not your voice doing the overlay.
I know. It makes a difference, right? People must be bored of my voice by now.
I'm expecting the accent to come through. I do like how it is kind of giving you the overview and then actually showing you where you should be going off and clicking and doing stuff.
Exactly. And I'm just going to mute the audio. There's audio with all the screens, but you have a lot of controls here, such as looking at different screen sizes, the speed you want to go through it, whether you're going to loop it, and then some different display options that you have. But basically, as you navigate through this, you're going to get a series of on-screen prompts, and you simply follow along.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing we're going to do, open Service Manager. Open Orchestrator.
Okay, yeah.
Open Operations Manager. Open Internet Explorer. Now, once you get really good, you can even change some of the tabs. You can skip it. You can mute the audio. And you can simulate that you're running a live demo yourself.
So okay.
A lot of flexibility. And basically, you know, you go simulate an error. You go check the website's no longer available. Go into Ops Manager, detect it. Create a ticket in Service Manager. Resolve it in Orchestrator with a runbook. And it's kind of like a nice end-to-end workflow showing this integrated story of how all of these pieces fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Again, completely free. Just go to aka.ms, PC Labs. Try it out now. And just a great resource that's easy to use, simple to get started. Literally, it takes you 2 minutes to get started.
Nice.
No need to deploy your own private cloud, set up the hardware. So just a great way to kind of feel out some of the capabilities without a lot of investment.
Hey, you could also tie this in also into the new possible preparation, one additional tool to be able to get ready for the private cloud certification that's going on for that kind of an effort too. So definitely very good resources. But that's it for the news, man. What do you have lined up for interviews going on this week?
Well, a little earlier this week, I interviewed Adam Hall, who's one of the marketing guys who works with System Center, specifically focusing on the application management space.
Okay.
So Adam's going to give us a demo of how we go and set up some of the application performance monitoring and how we really manage virtual machines both in public clouds and in private clouds. Let's take a look at that now.
Cool.
Hey, this is Simon. We're with Edge Show episode 24, and I'm joined today by Adam, who's one of our specialists with application management. Adam, please introduce yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Simon. Hi, everyone. My name is Adam Hall. I work in the Windows Server and System Center group. My role is to look after application management across the Windows Server application platform, System Center application management, and also Windows Azure application management as well.
So tell us, we're always about private cloud, right? That's been our focus. How does application management exactly fit into this private cloud model?
Sure. So we look at applications running across all of the different clouds. We have applications that run in traditional methods today, so the server application kind of model. We have applications in a private cloud, which we're going to talk about a little bit today, and also applications running out in there in the public cloud, so the Windows Azure platform as a service, and bringing together the differences between those, but also how we can commonly manage across those environments as well.
Great. And of course, it's important to really understand the applications from the infrastructure guy's perspective as well, because he needs to understand how do we map the
Correct.
Particular application to the underlying service model to the underlying infrastructure.
Absolutely. And it's a very tight relationship between that data center admin and that application owner. And we talk about how the fabric gets abstracted and how we lay down all of that foundation for the application. When you put the application in, it's about, well, how do you delegate out rights to manage that to an application owner? How do you know the app's okay? How do you configure and deploy it the same way every time? Patch management, all these things change slightly in cloud models. So we bring together all of those capabilities and really delegate out to the application owner to do all of those things that they want to do. But the data center admin maintains that control. They still ultimately own that underlying infrastructure and are responsible for making sure the applications perform well.
Great. So within System Center 2012, what are the primary components that we think about when we look at application management?
So my sort of realm sits in, from a Windows Server platform, it's IIS, is really the web platform and the .NET framework. From a System Center point of view, we have App Controller, we have Operations Manager from an Application Performance Monitoring point of view, Service Templates and Virtual Machine Manager, and we also have a feature of Virtual Machine Manager called Server App V, which is about application virtualization, but on servers, not desktops.
Great. Well, I think most of our people know about VMM and Ops Manager, but let's talk about some of these three new things. You know, let's talk about Server App V, Service Templates, and App Controller.
Absolutely.
First of all, what exactly is App Controller?
Let me show you something, because I think the easiest thing to do when we're talking about App Controller is to take a walk through the interface and see what it is. So on the screen here, we're looking at App Controller 2012. Now, System Center, part of the System Center suite, it is a new component of System Center 2012. So App Controller gives us a single view across all of the clouds we have access to and all the services that are running inside these clouds. Now, the first thing that I'll say is, or answer is, what is a service? And what is the difference between an application and a service? A service is an application with all of the peripheral pieces that come together that make up the application. So a traditional application, you install on a server, there's an OS and there's an application and that's it. In a service, in a cloud view, you've got an application that's running, but you've also got the network, the storage, the compute, all of the policies and profiles that go with that as well. When we put all of those things together, that's what we call a service. And so App Controller allows me to see services that are running across my Virtual Machine Manager private clouds and also across my Windows Azure subscriptions as well. I can see, if you take a look on the screen on the left-hand side here, I can see the status of my quota. And my data center admin has delegated me down a pool of resource that I'm allowed to work with. And I can see very quickly how much of it I've used. If I need more, I'll need to go off and say, please, can I have some more? I've got some more capacity requirements. And I can very quickly see how much remaining there as well.
So does this give you self-service capabilities as well?
So App Controller delivers the application self-service capability. So that's about an application owner wanting to see their apps, deploy their apps, and then work with them on a day-to-day basis. The second thing I'll point out is that we see the Windows Azure public clouds. And one of the things that App Controller does that none of the other components do at all is allow us to connect to Windows Azure subscriptions and delegate down rights to internal people to manage them. So we have a lot of customers who are using Windows Azure. They end up with multiple subscriptions over time. They have different business units. And then they sort of want, well, how do I bring them all back together again? App Controller is a thing that says all those Windows Azure subscriptions out there, bring them into a single management point, and then delegate access to Active Directory users and groups. We can give read-write access as well as read-only access. So we might have a number of people that just simply need to see what's running in Windows Azure. We can give them a read-only view that just allows them to see the service or the components, but they can't change anything.
Now, you talked about managing virtual machines, so yes. Tell me, how does this compare to Virtual Machine Manager? Why would you use this, or why would you use Virtual Machine Manager?
Sure, so Virtual Machine Manager is really an infrastructural tool. It's about the abstraction, the pooling, the fabric, the network, and all those underlying components. Yes, you can see virtual machines in them, but App Controller is about the delegation and about I'm not an infrastructure person, I'm an application owner. I don't need to see all of that detail under the hood that makes up a virtual machine. I just need to know that it's up and running. And so if we take a look at the virtual machines view of App Controller, what we're seeing here are all of the underlying virtual machines that make up my services. Now, I'm an application owner. I probably might know the name of my virtual machines. I certainly don't know the IP address or any of that detail, right? So what App Controller allows us to do is see for each virtual machine where it sits inside my application. So I can very simply see what is the name of the machine, and I have a number of delegated rights across the panel at the top here as well, all the way from being able to shut the machine down and take a snapshot, all the way through to remote desktoping, or open up in the console of Virtual Machine Manager. So even though I'm just an app guy, I might need to log on to my server. I can only log on to the servers, though, that I am an owner of.
Great.
So App Controller takes all of those virtual machines and all of that detail and bubbles them up into the services view. Now, the services view looks very simple. It's you can see the breakdown of the services I have in private clouds, which are the dark blue icons you see, and then the light blue Windows Azure subscriptions are showing the applications we have running up in Windows Azure on platform as a service. However, if I double-click on one of those, I very quickly get a detailed view where I can see the structure of my service. So they look simple, but very quickly I can drill in and see my service template. So we can see all the virtual machines, how they come together, and the construct of that service template.
Now, a service, I think you've mentioned this, but it can span more than just one virtual machine, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, if I bring up the deployment of a new virtual machine, the first thing we're asked for is where do we want to deploy our service? Where do we want to deploy our service to? And then it asks us for this template. Now, the templates that I have access to, I have my expenses manager here. As I click OK, we're now brought up the service template. And the service template is all the parameters about my application, the virtual machines that you can see the tiers there, but also the configuration. And this configuration is effectively the service level agreement between myself as the app owner and the data center admin. How much capacity do I need? What monitoring do I require? What performance characteristics do I expect? Everything from CPU and RAM all the way through to how does the application scale once it's out there and running. And so as an app owner, I can see the service template. I can simply hit deploy and configure this out without needing access to virtual machines, without needing access to that underlying infrastructure that the data center admins are ultimately in control of.
Well, it looks like a key component here is the standardization, right? We know the service template is deployed the same way every time.
Yes.
So we know how that should automatically be processed and how that ties to the underlying infrastructure.
That's correct.
Always the same every time. It means that we're going to get the same service experience every time.
Absolutely. And if I'll bring up the Virtual Machine Manager Service Template Designer, the app controller component gives us that simple view. In Virtual Machine Manager, when we bring up the service template, we see all that detail. And a couple of the things that I'll point out here are, this is where we configure load balancing. This is where we configure the standard virtual machine characteristics. We've got how much CPU, how much RAM, which VHD are we going to attach to each of those virtual machines. But this is also where we configure what applications are going to run inside that tier. Now, if we take a look at the web service tier of our application here, and take a look at the application configuration, I'll point out that we have a virtual application inside this template. This is a server at V package, which is just like the desktop at V that's part of the MDOT desktop management suite. This is the server version. And the server version is remarkably similar to desktop, but it has a couple of slightly different characteristics. One being you don't stream applications down to a server operating system. Probably be a bad thing to be streaming applications in a data center. But the other thing is that it allows us to dynamically register this application with the operating system. So as it drops down and gets loaded up, the app automatically mounts itself into the service control manager. It makes itself available to SQL Server reporting services, WMI, COM, all those kinds of things. As we deploy, this application package allows us to say, how is this version of the app deployed? So if you've got an application that gets deployed in multiple locations, but just there's a slight tweak to each one, could be an ERP system that has a different business unit deployment for each one, could be geographically dispersed, might just be you've got dev, test, and prod. Maybe the only difference is a string that says dev, test, and prod, or the business unit name. We can take that information and pipe it in at deployment time and allow us to deploy the consistent app in the same way, but with a slightly different color each time.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, standard types of application service model. What about AppV?
Okay.
What exactly is that? How does this fit in?
All right, so Server AppV is that virtual application. And the way this works is you sequence an application. And what does sequence mean? It means you hit the big start button, you install your application and configure it as you want it, and you hit the stop button. At the end of that, it will take everything that changed into a package. All the files that get laid down, the registry settings that got laid down, any text files, any configurations, the services that got installed, pretty much anything on the operating system that got changed, scoop it all up, put it into a package, and now instead of installing your application, you simply load that one file into the operating system and say, there's my application. It will lay down all those files, the registry settings, everything, and make it pretty much immediately available to the operating system instead of going through the long installation process.
So that means every user doesn't have to install it. They don't need to click the right buttons at the right time.
That's
they
correct.
Just get this package.
And you take away, effectively, the soft squishy bit. I might make mistakes, you know, I go on coffee breaks, I take leave, I forget to do things, I don't update documentation. It's all about consistency and it's all about speed and repeatability to bring that together. Now, Server AppV also allows us to help a lot with scalability. So as an application scales out and you get multiple instances behind the load balancer, you really want to make sure that goes out in the same way every time. And when it comes to updating the application, Server AppV allows us to lift the application up, replace the underlying operating system, and bring it back down. We do that by exporting all the stateful information off of the application instance in its state, bring in a new virtual machine in, maybe there's been a patch on Patch Tuesday, and then bring that stateful information back. We scale out, we do all that patching, and then we scale back in. Zero downtime, high availability, fully automated, and absolutely no risk of someone forgetting to do something.
So when you say we do updating as well, can't this mean that rather than have all 1,000 people in my organization update, download the new version of the package, we can update it in a central location, and then they just get the new version themselves.
Absolutely, and you know, updates to server applications typically don't happen that often. Might be quarterly, might be half yearly, but the underlying server operating system gets patched a lot. And so what we're really solving here is, how do you patch servers? You know, you take if you patch an Exchange server, for example, when you have to restart it, how do you make sure that mailboxes are still available? Server at V, from a line of business application point of view, is you really don't want to be taking down the finance system when it's time to run the payroll or it's time to process that batch at the end of the month, right? But a patch might come out the day before and it's a really critical one and you have to get it out. How do you solve that problem? What we do with Server at V is allow you to run what we call upgrade domains, which scales the app out to two instances. You can patch one and then patch the other one with no downtime and really keep the app highly available.
Excellent. So how does App Controller fit in with Server at V?
So Server at V packages come into a service template. And so what you get in App Controller is a simple, simplistic view of the service template. So as you see on the screen here, this is the detail that a data center admin sees for a service template. If I go back to App Controller and bring up that same view, it's much more simple. Right? Very simplistic. All I see is three tiers and the server names that go with it. Yet across here, just going back again to the template, now I see all those underlying details. And so App Controller is about simplifying a view for the app owner, yet still providing that same rich information that's consistent across the two teams, so that when I'm talking to my data center admin, we're talking the same language. He sees what I see, just in more detail.
Excellent. That was a lot of information about application management,
wasn't it?
You hit a lot of key points there. So I think people are going to be excited to try this out. Where can they go learn more?
Sure. So I'd redirect people to three places. I would go and check out the Evaluation Center on TechNet and make sure that you download the bits and give it a try. Go to Microsoft.com/System Center and look at all the information about the components that we're talking about. And I'd also recommend taking one of our private cloud immersion days, where you get to come and do hands-on all of these things that we're talking about. We've built an environment where you can come into a room, be led by a trainer through creating and doing all of these scenarios and taking this for a spin. And we understand that not everyone's got the hardware in their labs to build out these big systems. So you know, if you can't do that, download the bits, try it out, or check out a private cloud immersion day.
Excellent. Great demos, great information. Thanks a lot for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, welcome back. Well, I hope you learned a little about some of the application management features that are coming out with System Center 2012. What's coming out next week?
Well, next week, actually, we have our good friend David Tesser coming back. I actually didn't check to see what his subject was, but I sure am positive it's going to be a good one. And if you want to talk to us about this particular show or any show that's coming up on the future forecasts, send us an email at edge@microsoft.com. Or if you're into tweeting like myself or Simon, you're welcome to give us a tweet at @TNEdge for the user ID, or just #TNEdge as well. And we'll be sure to get back to you as soon as possible. Don't forget, you can comment down there in the comment fields too, and we also respond to those. That's about it for me. That's it.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Cheers.